there's no place like home for the hot.
Two friends on the couch of summer nights, horror flicks bringing out the fright, sipping soda, laughing at the scene. Fat boy summer living out our dreams. Here we are in the globeless screen. Just two fat boys living a horror dream. Midnight snacks, popcorn in the air, chasing shadows without a care. Cracking jokes, making memories. Late night horror, just you and me. In this golden glow we own the night. Two fat boys in a summer light, laughing loud through the scary scenes. Handful of chips living out our dreams. With every jump scare we scream and shout. This fat boy summer's what it's all about.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
Jeff, we're week three of this 3 week long road trip.
It's been a real joyride, if you know what I'm saying.
It sure has been. We're closing it out. Hell, fuck, the movie has it. We've been 3 weeks on the road and we're going to make it home tonight.
Indeed.
This is our this is the last week of Fat Boy Summer. We're rounding it out with Joyride 3, Roadkill. We'll also probably hit the road again next summer. But yeah, that's
most likely.
we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Not on those tires.
Yeah, we got to get this whole car fixed up. We've been chased by mad truckers all across the country.
It's Joyride 3, Roadkill. Unrated.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And this one actually takes advantage of it for a much better opening, a much better Jeff Searcy style opening.
Jeff, one complaint. No circus boobs.
That's
no
true.
Mongo jugs.
Yeah, they weren't Mongo jugs, but at least we got some, Jay. At least we got some. I like the tribute they paid to the writers of Joyride 2 with that crack pipe in the first scene.
Let's hit the road. Released for Joyride 3 Roadkill, unrated. Released June 3rd, 2014, straight to DVD.
Good summer movie.
Like 6 years after Joyride 2? What is taking these people?
I mean, honestly, they're lucky they got a Joyride 3 after Joyride 2. I would have been like, fuck no, I'm not funding that.
But Jeff, all that means to me is, we're past due for Joyride 4.
It's true.
Someone needs to be working on Joyride 4 Space Trucker or something like that.
God, they might be, Jay. They might be.
Or you bring Steve Zahn and Lily Sobieski back.
Ooh, yeah.
And they're trying to hunt down Rusty Nail because Paul Walker, you have it like implied that he got killed driving back across country.
Yeah, that could work.
And you can even like bring in the survivors of the other movies in like little cameos or something like that.
That would totally work.
Hollywood, call us.
Yes.
We're free. We're not doing anything.
I know. Shockingly free.
Our going rate is what, $1 million each?
Sure.
$500,000 each? I don't know. We'll negotiate.
We'll do $1 million each. Why not? Hey, come on. You guys saw what happened when you guys didn't pick up Backrooms and Obsession.
Exactly. Yeah. Call us, Hollywood. Written and directed by Declan O'Brien, whose credits also include Wrong Turn 3 through 5 and Sharktopus.
Yes. And that's how we knew this movie was going to be good, Jay.
When the guy who does Sharktopus is in charge of your Joyride movie, you know you got a hit on your hands.
And I mean, honestly, he did what you should do when you're making a Joyride movie and, you know, actually put the things in it from the first one that people liked. Not try to do them worse somehow.
Our third Rusty Nail is played by Ken Kersinger, yes. Who was also Jason in Freddy vs. Jason. He also did stunts for the...
Jason on a boat.
For the 2005 The Fog remake. Boo fog. Oh, that movie sucks so bad. How do you call your movie The Fog and then barely have it be anything like John Carpenter's The Fog? Anyway,
the mist was already taken.
Jesse Hutch plays Jordan because it's J-O-R-D-O-N.
Yes. Zordon's cousin.
And plays Trey in Freddy vs. Jason. So we've got a Freddy vs. Jason.
Got a real reunion here, yeah.
Benjamin Hollings plays Mickey. Giampaolo Ventura is Austin. Jake Monley is Bobby. Kristen Zien is Jewel. Leela Savasta plays Alyssa. And we last saw her as Claire in Black Christmas 06.
Ooh.
Sarah Mitch is Candy. Not Candy Cane, just Candy. And J. Adam Brown is Rob. Aaron Hughes plays lead technician. Well, I don't know. And we last saw him.
It's the guy on the road when they're investigating the dragon kill at the beginning, probably.
Okay. We last saw him as patrolman in ATM, and we will see him again as Frank in the 2012 Silent Night Deadly Night remake just called Silent Night. Rick Skeen is trucker number 4 and did stunts for Toys of Terror, ATM, Santa's Sleigh, and he plays Elroy in the 2025 Silent Night Deadly Night remake and Ronald Jones Jr. and Sr. in the 2012 Silent Night Deadly Night remake just titled Silent Night.
Cool. Is he the trucker that gets stopped with the load of meat?
I would assume that's who that is.
Okay.
Kristen Swartzky plays patrol officer and is in Silent Night Deadly Night 2025 as foster mom. We've got a regular Silent Night Deadly Night reunion in the past.
Yes.
One of those past reunions.
Yes, of course.
Tagline, end of the road. I mean, I guess if this was going to be your last Joyride movie, that's pretty good tagline.
It is. Not bad.
But honestly, make a new Joyride. Me and Jeff in charge of it.
Totally make a new Joyride.
We'll even agree to meet with J.J. Abrams.
Oh, God.
And we'll try to hold our tongue.
I guess we could do that.
Reported budget of $2 million. And has grossed just over $1.2 million in DVD and Blu-ray sales.
That's what you want to see. Currently. Yeah. Which is a shame because it deserves more than that.
Where to watch. It's the same as all these Joyride movies.
If you just took my advice in the first one of these Fat Boy Summers and just bought the collection on Vudu, you'd have it already.
Yeah, you'd have them all already. Or if you go to a used bookstore or a used DVD place and buy some collection of all three of them or buy them all separate. They're not going to charge more than $5 for Joyride. Like, no. Come on.
Honestly, you could probably get the Joyrides 2 for $5. Just fine. Grab yourself a Wrong Turn or something to go with it.
Yeah, throw something else out there. The 2000s, whatever, Paris Hilton, House of Wax. Throw that in there. That's a fun summer movie. Personal experience. We've gone through this. Someone said, hey, did you know there's 2 extra Joyride movies? And I watched them.
Oh, God.
And Jeff's personal experience is this is the first time he's seen it.
Yes.
And it won't be the last.
Probably not, actually. If I was going to rewatch the Joyrides, I would watch 1 and 3 and probably skip 2.
I think that's a good call. As we'll get into it, we'll dive into our synopsis. We see Rob and Candy, 2 meth heads, laying in a hotel room.
They're fucking.
Yep. Having sex and doing meth. Things that that meth heads do. Until Candy gets mad because they're out of meth. But Rob has a plan. He gives Candy a CB radio walkie-talkie and is going to have her lure some horny trucker to the hotel room. I've heard this story before.
Indeed. Except this time there's a real woman.
Yep. So Rob can ambush him. But wouldn't you know it, the trucker who's on the other end of the CB radio is Rusty Nail.
They made a mistake, Jay.
He even says, Candy. I knew a candy cane once. We see Rusty driving his truck, and he's not all burned up like he was in the last movie, as I suspected. And I think had a hand tattoo, like I said he did.
A spiderweb hand tattoo.
Yep. They are able to lure Rusty to the room, and Rob goes to ambush him, but Rusty is ready. And after telling Rob, he looks nothing like his picture.
Yep.
He closes the door, and we cut to black.
Yes.
We come back, and Rob and Candy are chained to the axle of Rusty's truck. Rusty says that if they can make it 1 mile, essentially riding on like the hood of his truck,
he'll let him go.
Yeah, he'll let him go, and he has a bag of meth.
Yes, which will turn out to be their downfall. Candy's meth lust is too strong. Yep.
He tapes it to his windshield, and so they climb on, and Rusty starts driving. And after a while, like... at one point you get the kind of the, oh, they're going to fall in, and then they don't. And then Rob's like, oh, we made it. Slow down. And then Candy goes and reaches for the meth, which pulls Rob under the truck, and then Candy follows.
He was slowing down. If they just waited, she could have held her meth lust for 30 more seconds. They could have just walked away with all that meth.
Yeah, they get crushed under the wheels of the truck and turned into roadkill. They Indeed. Did the thing, kind of.
Play the title card.
Rusty laughs. A cover of 6 days on the Road and I'm Gonna Make It Home Tonight plays as we see semi-trucks driving through a town.
We're trucking.
We're trucking here.
We're back. We're trucking.
We are introduced to Bobby, Austin, Mickey, and Jordan, who are all talking about their upcoming car race.
Road Rally 1000.
The Road Rally 1000, which was maybe the grand prize was only $1,000. Did they say that?
I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be 1,000 or 10,000, but yeah, it's not. Either way, it's not a lot of money.
We're driving to Canada to compete in the Road Rally 1000 for $1,000.
It's mostly for bragging rights, Jay.
And then out comes Alyssa and Jewel, and they're wearing like sexy.
We have our race ho outfits.
Yeah. I was going to say Spirit Halloween NASCAR outfits, sexy lady NASCAR outfits. And they take a picture before the race,
which will turn out to be their undoing.
It'll be their last. We see cops investigating Rob and Candy's deaths on Route 17, a.k.a. Slaughter Alley.
What's that, Jay? You're saying that the police have taken an interest in a murderer killing people constantly in the same area? Crazy.
Wild. Wild that it took two movies for us to get here. Sorry, took until the third movie for us to get here. I guess that's a better way to phrase it. The senior officer, Jenkins, thinks that it's just an animal attack, but rookie officer Williams wants to look into it. And the like, because there's the fact that it can't be an animal attack. The bodies were obviously dragged because they're like the blood is smeared on the pavement.
Yeah.
But he's told not to scare anyone with his talk about Slaughter Alley and Route 17.
Damn you. We can't start a panic.
All the racers hit the road for the Road Rally 1000 and stop at a truck stop. Austin discovers a shortcut on a map that
on
isn't on the GPS that will shave a whole day off their drive.
Wow. How long does it take these guys to drive to Canada? Where did they start from?
I think Kansas. So, like...
That'd be one day.
That's a straight shot.
If they left in the morning. Yeah, just go straight north. They could be in Canada by the night.
Because I'm pretty sure the Racer 1 license plate is a Kansas plate.
Yep.
But they go to ask about this hidden day-saving Route 17. They ask a trucker... who basically tells him, don't go down that road. That's Route 17, Slaughter Alley.
You're referring to Barry, who should be the main character.
Jeff's favorite character.
Government conspiracies, aliens, who knows?
He talks about how the, you think I'm pulling your leg? Yeah, that'll happen until you lose your GPS signal and your car shuts off on its own.
Some kind of electrical dead zone. Aliens, conspiracy, government experiment, who knows?
NSA's listening. They've got some big device out there blocking all the signals.
Yes. Yes, they do, Barry. Yeah. I agree with you.
And then in walks Officer Jenkins, and he's like, you guys talking about Route 17? Barry, don't go scaring everybody. Get back on your meds.
Your Slaughter Alley. Get out of here.
And Barry's just like, I wouldn't go down that road.
Not that road.
I wouldn't go down that road.
Not on those tires, Jay. Not on those tires.
Austin and Jordan hop in their race car. And
we're going to break in the engine.
With Alyssa and Jewel and Mickey and Bobby get in like the truck and with a trailer on the back. And Austin and Jordan are going to open up the engine by driving in the opposite.
So basically, they're going to go back 10 miles and let them start, and they're going to see how fast they can overtake them, basically. Yes. Yeah.
And in doing so, they pass a semi-truck on the road.
Well, pass in a very annoying, asshole-ish way.
Well, initially, they pass it, because they pass it going one direction, turn around, and then Austin decides to be like a real dick.
Yeah.
And like almost... basically like causes an accident by like cutting off this truck driver, and wouldn't you know it, the guy driving the truck
is
Rusty Nail.
No, wait a minute, Jay. Are you telling me that they committed some kind of road-based offense that got Rusty Nail mad at them?
I mean, arguably did something to it to cause road rage.
Antagonize him, yes. You know, that's way better than maybe like breaking into his house and stealing his vintage car, which he then destroys later for no reason. Like, that's a much better motivation.
Yeah, I think there's a better motivation here. They then, so they start driving along and they catch up with Bobby and Mickey. And then out of nowhere, here comes Rusty speeding down the middle of this two-lane road.
Yep.
And they basically play like this weird game of like cat and mouse where they're trying to get around him.
So he lets Rusty pass, thinking, you know, that'll make him calm down. But he does not calm down. He starts blocking him whenever they try to go around.
Yep, and starts like brake checking him and all sorts of stuff. And eventually they're able to overtake him. And Rusty almost hits another car and avoids it.
Yep.
Good guy, Rusty Nail.
Yes.
But his truck jackknifes in the process.
Yes. He also hits the trailer of the truck.
And knocks it off the road. Yeah, he almost he runs the trailer off. He almost runs them off the road. Jewel thinks they should turn back and offer to help because the truck did jackknife, make sure everybody's okay.
Which might have saved their lives.
Or at least call the cops anonymously. But Jordan's like, trucks jackknife every day, it's fine.
I need to get to my race, okay?
I need to go race.
It's gonna be a common refrain.
Rusty pulls up their website. He uses like his dash cam. Yeah. Goes back and then pulls up their website and calls them on their walkie-talkie and proceeds to call them all by name and tells them they're not going to make it to their race.
Mm.
Jordan says they're just going to head for the border and pray Rusty doesn't catch up to them. They stop for gas, and Jewel and Jordan fight about calling the cops again. But once again, I gotta make my race.
You're not the one with a criminal record, okay?
Yeah, I'll get, they won't, if they bust me for this, they'll never let me drive again. What? Okay.
I don't know what civic road offenses have to do with being a race car driver, but okay.
Especially if you just call your tip in, like, anonymously, like, nothing's gonna happen.
Yeah, I don't get it. His motivation never makes sense in this movie for why he won't stop, other than he's just a dick.
Austin and Jewel are in the truck, and they get a flat tire. Meanwhile, the rest of the crew in the race car speed on ahead, but they suddenly lose their GPS satellite connection. Almost like there's some kind of NSA secret government blocking technology out here.
Should have listened to Barry.
Austin gets the tire changed, and Jewel remarks that they have no cell service. Rusty then appears immediately behind the two of them in his semi-truck.
I thought that was a well-done scene where he flips his lights on at the last second.
Yep. And blares his horn at them before eventually running them off the road. They hit like a construction site, and their truck flips. And then he gets out, checks their pulses, and tosses both of them in the trailer of his truck.
Takes them prisoner.
Later on, Rusty pulls over and gets Austin out of the trailer and forces his hands into the fan of the motor before then shoving his face into it.
Yes.
You get some real like goopy, gory blood as like you watch like his finger pieces.
Good finger and face mutilation.
Yep. Oh, it looks so good. And the whole time, like, Rusty's like, I have the quote, but Rusty's like, are you a religious man, Austin? He's like,
no, I'm not, but I could be.
And then he's like, one of my favorites is Idle Hands or the Devil's Playground. And then he like cuts off one of his hands. And then he has like another quote.
Your hand causes you to stumble, then cut it off.
Yep. And then he cuts off the other one. And he's like, or you could just say an eye for an eye leaves everyone blind and shoves his face straight. It's so good.
Gee, you know, Jay, this is a much more interesting Rusty Nail than, say, one that would catch him and be like, now you need to dress up like a woman. Well, dress up like a woman and seduce a trucker for me.
go cut your finger off.
go to the meth party.
Go to the meth party, but don't get any. Do get meth, but don't get any meth. Also, I take off your bra.
Take off your bra, audience.
Rusty films himself tying Jewel up to the back of his truck, and then calls Jordan and the others on the CB. Jordan asks what Rusty wants, and he says, it's not what I want, it's what I have, and what I have is what you want, or something like that. Rusty tells Jordan that he will exchange Jewel and Austin, who they don't know is dead at this point, for their race car.
He's not dead yet, is he?
No, and Austin's been killed. Austin just got killed.
I thought he tortured him again later with the chain thing.
No, that's Bobby.
Oh, okay.
He'll exchange these people who are totally alive for their race car.
Well, one of them's alive for now.
And tells them where to meet.
Oh, yes. You gotta love the meeting spot, too. Come into my dark warehouse. You gotta come in here.
We cut to Officer Williams, who finds the crashed truck and calls for backup. Jordan tells the others he has a plan as they arrive at the warehouse. The two boys hide, and Jordan goes inside, and Alyssa is told to wait in the car. She immediately gets out of the car.
Of course.
They all look for Rusty. Rusty actually stalks around the warehouse doing like a Arkham-style takedown on Bobby and kidnaps him before almost running Jordan over in his semi-truck and fleeing.
Another good scene. I like that.
The other three then run out and get in the race car and try to give chase, but I think immediately lose him.
Yep. Well, he does have the rusty nail power to appear and disappear at will. That's remained consistent.
Officer Williams sees Rusty Nail driving erratically down the road, blood coming out of the back of his trailer, and pulls him over and handcuffs him, opens the trailer, finding a bunch of meat inside. But it wasn't Rusty Nail. It was just a random trucker.
But then the body's in there, too. Turns out Rusty tricked him into taking the trailer.
Yep. And so, but the officer thinks, oh, I found the guy.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the remaining racers run into Officer Jenkins and explain their whole story to him. Oh. And he's like, all right, follow me.
After him almost killing them, like a realistic cop would. Yep, as they jump out of their car, he's like, Freezer, I'll kill you.
They're like, we need help. Freezer, I'll kill you. And then he's like, I just want to show you this thing. And he's like, get your hand out of your pocket.
Yep. I liked it.
Most realistic cop. But yeah, they explain their story, and then he's like, all right, follow me. They get in their car, and he turns around to immediately get run over by Rusty Nail.
Gotta love it.
Big old explosion.
Yes, the another thing that I love from the first one, his truck somehow makes everything he hits explode.
Rusty gets back on the walkie-talkie and tells them to listen to what they've wrought. We see Bobby with the tire chains wrapped all over his body and face, and then they They all have to listen as we see Rusty turn on the winch as the spikes are pulled and tightened into Bobby's skin and bones and organs.
You want a pinhead? This is how you get a pinhead.
Yep. A real, real goopy, bloody mess. Rusty tells Jordan he has a chance to pay for what he's done and to meet him at the old junkyard. Mickey gets out because he's kind of fed up with all this shit, and he's like, I'm going to go get help. But Alyssa refuses to go with him. He walks for a while thinking he's found Rusty's truck just to get jumped by Rusty from behind. Officer Williams finds Jenkins's destroyed cruiser and calls in backup. Mickey wakes up with his head in between the bumper of Rusty's tractor trailer and a tire jack.
Indeed.
And Rusty approaches and says Mickey shouldn't have jacked him up to the cops, that he got ahead of himself.
Hey, there we go.
And then proceeds to kick down on the jack, which then splits Mickey's head in between the two things.
Ouch.
Rusty then goes back to his cab, pulls out a tank of gas or a gas can, pours it all over Mickey, and then does the cool thing that every cool guy does and flicks his cigarette into the gasoline, lighting it all on fire.
He does indeed. Rusty Nail has his aura back from the first movie. I don't know what happened to him in that second one.
Different guy. Officer Williams orders roadblock set up on Route 17 to find this killer. Alyssa and Jordan arrive at the junkyard, and Jordan tells Alyssa to take the car and look for help. Jordan walks around the junkyard looking for Rusty, and he hears Jewel screaming for help. Rusty emerges, and they taunt each other for a little bit, and Rusty reveals that Jewel is in the car that's suspended in the claw above the crusher. He starts to lower it, and the car is slowly crushed as Jewel screams for help, and Rusty beats the ever-loving fuck out of Jordan with his bare hands. Indeed. And then, like, throws him back into, like, a bunch of barrels, and Jordan kind of, like, blacks out for a second. Comes to as Rusty has picked up an axe and is walking towards him, just for Alyssa to speed through in the race car and crash into Rusty.
Yes.
She then stops the crusher, and Jordan climbs into it and opens the trunk, just because he hears Jewel still screaming, just to find a camcorder with Jewel screaming on it.
Oh, that Rusty, he's too clever.
Rusty had Jewel strapped, standing up to the top of his truck, and he speeds towards a bridge as Jewel hits the bridge and her body is cut in half. Rusty remarks, "Well, Jewel, you made it halfway to the hospital."
Yep. I was going to say that. I think that might be my favorite kill and line, because the way that her guts trail along the top as she gets split in half.
And it's the big, like, it's the initial big, like, geyser of blood. As mm-hmm. Like, oh, so good.
Yeah.
Jordan, who, remember, just got the shit beat out of him by Rusty.
Yes.
Screams that he's going to find him and kill him, but Rusty's gone. They get in the race car to track him down, but it won't start. And then here comes Rusty out of nowhere once again.
Rusty's like, "Well, now that I'm done with that, time to kill you."
In his truck. And he starts to slowly crush the car, like pushing it forward. Jordan gets out, but Alyssa's leg is stuck. He hops in the claw crusher.
The only logical thing you could do for a Joyride sequel. Now we have to fight the machine with another bigger machine.
And he grabs Rusty's truck and basically crushes it and drops it in the crusher and then activates the crusher.
Yes.
It starts to rain, and, you know, Jeff, I like the rain.
It washes the streets clean.
And Jordan and Alyssa walk away, saying he's dead as sirens wail in the background. It is now the daytime, and Jordan and Allison are in an ambulance being questioned by Officer Williams about why he would be after them. And Alyssa says because he was a psychopath, and Williams informs them that Mickey also died. We need you to come investigate this body. We think it's Mickey's body is essentially what happens.
Yeah, they can't say for sure, but they're pretty sure.
Williams then goes to check the crushed cab to see Rusty's body, but when they open it up, there's no one inside. We see Rusty Nail hitchhiking down the road, and another trucker pulls over and picks him up, and he's like, "What's your name, partner?" And he goes, "Rusty. Rusty Nail."
Yeah, in a final moment of comedy, too, he sees that his jacket is completely soaked in blood, I'm guessing, from the fight, and strips it off before he gets in the truck. Yeah. "You need a ride, partner?" "Sure do. What's your name?" "Rusty. Rusty Nail."
Credits roll. Truck drives away. End of movie.
Good song, too, for the end. End of the road. It's the end of the road.
It's the end of the road. Road ending up ahead.
And I clapped because Joyride was back, ladies and gentlemen, after a weird misstep in number two.
It really did feel like the Saw 2. Where, like, Saw 1 and Saw 3 were Saw movies, and Saw 2 was a different movie that they were like, "People love this Saw. We need a new Saw. Here's half a script that kind of could be a Saw movie. All right, we're going to make it a Saw movie."
Yes. It's pretty similar, yes.
Like, it's very much like, here's a movie. I guess we could turn this into a Joyride. Sure, why not?
But yes, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It has all the things you want from a Joyride. Is it great? No, but then again, neither was Joyride 1. It was just pretty decent.
Where do you want to start for our categories, Jeff?
Let's just do our quotes. We've been saying them throughout this thing.
All right, CB chatter, favorite quotes.
Do some of that CB chatter. All right, Rusty Nail. This is after he plows through the state trooper car. "You broke the rules, Jordan." Jordan, "You killed a police officer." "Yes, I did. Now one of you is going to have to pay with a lot more than just a fucking car. I want you to listen to what you've wrought."
So good. the one that I said a little bit ago. "You're halfway to the hospital now, Jewel," after he literally severs her body in half, speeding down the interstate.
When Rusty effortlessly destroys Jordan in hand-to-hand combat and flips him onto the ground, he's like, "Learned that from a hockey ninja."
I was like, what is that? What? Austin has some lines in the middle here, but I just grabbed Rusty's part. Are you a religious man, Austin? What is it he says? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. But I think I prefer the one that says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. Or maybe I'll just go for the one that says, an eye for an eye, as he's slowly shoving Austin's hands and then face into the fan on his engine.
Mickey, listen, I'm so sorry, sir. So sorry, please. And of course, you shouldn't have jacked me up with the cops, Mickey. Got ahead of yourself. That makes me mad.
My favorite, also, weird thing, we have back-to-back Joyride, but another idea that potentially Declan O'Brien or whatever didn't watch Joyride 2. We have a different character named Bobby.
Yeah.
I like this Bobby a lot better. Oh my God, she's the spitting image of Large Marge. Alyssa. Who? Bobby. Seriously?
Anybody? Large Marge? And the youth just has no culture.
I'm sitting there, and then when he leaves the restaurant, he goes and gives the waitress a hug, and he's like, Marge.
My favorite line from Marge was, well, can we get those burgers to go? We're in a hurry. She's like, of course you are. Just walks away.
Also, I love, like, Alyssa's like, I don't want any coffee. And Marge just starts pouring anyway.
I'll be back to take your order.
Austin, we're supposed to be winning a race, not selling tuner girl calendars.
What's that? He's like, yeah, I don't think you're going to make it to that race, Jordan. The moment, of course, the taillight moment for this one.
How strange. You look nothing. You do not look anything like your picture. Rusty nailed a Rob when Rob answers the door. And then Rusty immediately proceeds to, like, grab him by the throat and throws him across the room.
He doesn't have any crack. What are we going to do? Just have him show up and we roll him for his cash.
And then she's like, Rob, we just got this hotel room. I don't want to leave. And he's like, if we beat him up and take his money, we're going to have to leave.
I mean, you got a point. Can't really roll a trucker and then stay there in the room.
Hi there. This is Candy, and I'm looking for some company. Any lonely truckers out there?
This is Rusty Nail. I knew a candy cane once. Where are you at, baby?
Candy cane. That's real cute, Rusty.
If only you knew. Oh. Ooh.
That was it for me.
I had one final one that was when she sends him the naked text to his phone, he's like, real pretty.
Oh, God. Fucking great Rusty Nail.
It would have been better if he'd been like, well, they're not circus jugs, but I guess they'll do.
They're not Mongo circus jugs. No one, Jeff, I'm going to reveal it right now. No one has written in to tell us what circus boobs means.
I don't know. I mean,
clearly we have no Canadian listeners to tell us.
I guess not. I mean, well, given what I've said about Canada in the past, I'm not that surprised, Jay.
Let's do seeing the sights, sets, costumes, etc. I loved the look of this Rusty Nail. This might honestly be, appearance-wise, this might be my favorite Rusty Nail.
I like the look of him in this. I like the way he moves, too, the way the actor did his, like, physicality. He seems like he's big and powerful.
He's so intimidating. Yep. Like, he just towers over every single person.
Yeah, I mean, the sets were good. This one felt like a road trip movie again, and not just people going back and forth to different locations in the same town. I like that. I like that most of the action happened on the road, you know, like for a Joyride movie.
Yep. I liked that this one wasn't in the desert.
Yes, that was also nice.
You know, if you're a long-haul trucker driving across the United States,
not always going to be in the desert. Yep. Yeah.
You're not always going to be in Utah, which is essentially where the first two movies took place.
I thought I like the kids' aesthetics, all of them. I thought they had a unique look to them. I like the racing team angle. I thought that was kind of cool.
I thought that was a fun spin on the idea.
Yeah.
And that way, like, you can do two cars. So it's kind of, well, what did Joyride do? Well, they were in one car. We're going to split them up into two cars.
And this time there's an actual professional driver to rival Rusty. So he could do some interesting things.
Yep. Do you notice every single time they, like, did the, like we're in the, like got the car going, they did like the 360 mm-hmm. like spin yep. out.
It's like, oh yeah, they're getting their money's worth out of this thing.
Excellent gore and kills. Yes, probably the goriest mm-hmm. Joyride movie.
Oh yeah, definitely. Number that was one weakness we pointed out in number one, was not very many kills and not very well done, but this one makes up for it.
I'm sometimes a little like indifferent on opening scenes of like horror movies, like the thing we talked about a little while ago, where it's like, oh, you know, a modern horror movie, you've got to have like a big scare at the beginning and, mm-hmm. and like this very rigid formula. I really enjoyed like the meth, the Candy yes. and Rob aspect of
this. I liked it. Yeah.
And then that kind of wasn't just the standalone kind of like, oh, this moment happened. No, it was the inciting incident for the police officers to kind of be involved. Mm-hmm. A thing you and I have been calling for since the yes, first movie.
Literally. It's like, if this guy was out here doing this, somebody would be looking into it.
You got me straight tripping, Jeff. How road trippy is this movie? How road trippy are the kills?
I mean, a lot of good road trippy kills in this one. A lot of good.
I think these are the best ones we've had so far.
A lot of road based kills, which we were saying was lacking in, honestly lacking in the first and second one, but the second one especially. I mean, honestly, the whole goal of the movie is a road trip to go race. So, I mean, can't get much more road trippy than that.
I would say, I'd say like road trip wise, somewhere kind of between the first two. Mm-hmm. Like you and I both felt that the second one. Didn't have that feel at all.
It fell down heavily on the road trip vibe.
But the first one was really, really good. And this one feels like it's kind of even, maybe a little less.
Yeah.
But that, you know, it's splitting hairs. It's probably down to budget. It's probably down, you know, any number of factors.
Yeah. I know. They tried. They tried to make it seem road trip. And I think they mostly succeeded.
Busted taillight, one headlight. One thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise.
Busted taillight for me was, I think they probably could have used a little bit more budget to give this a few more locations maybe to stop on the road trip, because it felt like they were doing a lot of heavy lifting with the car and doing inside shots with Rusty in his truck to kind of make up for the fact that they couldn't afford more locations.
I would have loved a thing where they stopped for gas and they think like, oh, Rusty's in there with them or something.
Yeah. Like the first one, I think we could have used a few more scenes where maybe they stop like at a motel for the night, or they stop at a gas station or stop to eat. A couple more stops, I think, could have made it feel more road trippy.
And then you can kind of build the tension, because like we got to get out of there fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be like, some reason we got to stop. Like, you know, we have to get gas or whatever. Something like that. Yeah, and they were like, oh God, was Rusty going to show up?
Yep. And then, yeah, you do the thing where like a truck shows up and you think, oh, is that Rusty? And it's not. And that could even be your introduction to the guy who then gets pulled over later.
I think that would have been good too if they'd had that extra budget. They could have introduced that guy and have him get stuck with the trailer later. Yeah.
My busted taillight, especially Austin and Mickey, but also kind of Jordan, all seemed very like interchangeable. Same guy. Yeah. It was early on. It was really hard to like, okay, which one is this now? Like, who's that one? Okay, who's this one? Eventually, I determined Jordan is the one who was clearly a 40-year-old man yes. hanging out with, like, a bunch of 20-somethings.
None of them are over 35, easily. It's like kind of like how you get to suspend your disbelief in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies that he's in high school.
No, that's a good point. No, he's like clearly got like this giant 5 o'clock shadow. Yeah. Like has like kind of a weathered face
and a crow's feet.
And I'm like, am I supposed to believe this guy's the same age as like all these other like 20 somethings?
Hello, fellow kids. I'm really here for a joyride. But yeah, no, I agree with you. They did feel kind of interchangeable, because I was like, oh, so this guy's personality is he's going to be the asshole. But then they're all assholes.
Yeah, they all wind up being asshole. But especially Austin and Mickey.
Yeah.
I'm literally like, okay, which one of these is which? And then when Austin gets killed, I was like, oh, well, there goes Alyssa's boyfriend. No, Alyssa's boyfriend was still Mickey. I was so confused with that.
Honestly, I think they could have done with two and two, two pairs of boyfriend-girlfriend.
Yeah, or something.
Cut the third guy, the third wheel.
But yeah, it felt like one of those things where, like, you and I have complained about this, I think, for other movies, like, where it's like, oh, you've got three blonde girls and I can't tell any of them apart.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to complain about that for other movies, it needs to get complained about in this situation. Cause like, I'm just sitting there, I'm like, okay, which of the fucking douchebags is this guy?
No,
like,
this movie definitely suffers from sorority sister syndrome with the male leads.
One headlight thing you want to praise, Jeff.
I want to praise this rusty nail because, I mean, big shoes to fill with Ted Levine from the first movie, but I think he did it. He's intimidating. He's got a physical presence that I think even Rusty in the first movie didn't really have. I mean, he's genuinely intimidating every time he shows up, especially if he's out of his truck.
And I think his voice sounds so much more like Ted Levine's. Mm-hmm.
He was trying to make it more, I think, like the first Rusty Nail versus the whatever fucking weird synthesizer voice the guy in the second one
like
was using.
He has like more of that drawl,
He's honestly, I think the thing that makes him feel better is he nails the cadence of the way that Ted Levine speaks in the first movie. And I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, like it's just mine was the exact same. Ken Kunzinger, he's just got a bit of the Ted Levine about him while also making the role his own. Yep. Like I didn't think like there were some like Rusty Nail one-liners in that first movie, but man, the one-liners of this one are so good and they're delivered so well.
Yes.
And he stands there, he's so intimidating. He's got the fucking like alligator skin boots or the mm-hmm. snake skin boots, and he just. You see him and you're just like, this guy's a fucking badass. Yes. Like,
he feels that's the number one thing he needed to do. He nails and that every scene he shows up in, he feels dangerous.
Yep. And like at times too, like early on, especially like the, you know, avoiding hitting the station mm-hmm. wagon. Like we've seen that Rusty Nail's trucks can just plow through anything.
Yes. And that was kind of at the end of the movie when she kind of sweeps it under the rug. Oh, he's a psycho or whatever. Not mentioning the fact that they started this with their cutting him off.
this Rusty feels like he could also like there. You know, I think you're supposed to imply that like Rusty kills the trucker. Mm-hmm. And like takes his truck, but like I could easily see this Rusty Nail. I would believe the second Rusty Nail would kill
a trucker and
take his truck. This Rusty Nail, I could feel just be like, this guy didn't do me wrong. Like,
drop me in the next truck stop.
Yep. Yeah. I'll find another truck and do this again.
I mean, he's following through in the opening scene. He's following through on the deal that he made. She just grabs that stuff and they fall off.
Yep. No, but yeah, feels very like avoidable, like your death could have been avoided if you'd just done the thing, which also feels very much like the first movie,
mm-hmm.
where the second movie it's like, I want my car back. Oh, I'm just gonna run my car over. Like, go fuck yourself.
No, actually, I just want to kill everybody I come across, whether they stole my car or not. And yeah, I don't actually care about the car. I'm gonna keep chasing you guys, even if you were to give it back to me. Yes, the first, I mean, that's keeping, again, the spirit of the first one, because when he finds out that they were kidding with him or whatever, and they admit it, he stops until he thinks that they're lying to him because they pick up the girl.
I thought you said there wasn't a lady.
Exactly.
Final rating, Jeff. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movie on one of three categories. It's Fat Boy Summer. Jeff, is this movie a flat tire? Is this movie riding shotgun, or is this King of the Road?
I don't know. I was flip-flopping back and forth. I'm like, I don't know. Is it good enough to be King of the Road, or is it just riding shotgun? And honestly, for this one, I think I'm going to land on King of the Road. I liked it. Honestly, I liked it better than the first one. I thought the kills were better. I thought the physical performance of Rusty Nail was better. He's better as a killer. And I really, really like the opening scene and all the kills and the gore effects that we talked about. And even though, yes, the male leads are interchangeable and killable. I mean, that's kind of what you want from one of these movies, is a bunch of people he can kill off that you don't really care that much about.
Yeah.
But you do kind of care, so it's a little bit impactful when they die.
I felt really bad for Bobby. I'm like, that guy literally did nothing, and he arguably gets the most brutal mm-hmm. kill out of anybody.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, King of the Road for me. I liked it. I think it's my favorite Joyride.
I did Ride and Shotgun. This feels like I said earlier, I think this feels like a actual sequel to Joyride. Feels like Declan O'Brien watched Joyride and went, yeah, I'm going to write a Joyride movie. What do you mean they made a sequel?
Yes, and as he should have, because the second one does not have anything to do with Joyride.
The kills are great, gory, practical, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure none of those kills are CGI.
No, there wasn't any CGI.
Rusty has some real good one-liners, and maybe does some of the coolest stuff that Rusty Nail does in the whole franchise. Mm-hmm. Dude, like, just oozes intimidation. Like every scene he's in, you're just like, this dude's a monster. Like, it's he does such a great job. Like, I genuinely enjoyed this movie. I'm sad that it took me a second time of watching it to be like, oh no, Joyride 2 actually kind of slaps.
Three.
Joyride 3, yeah, actually kind of, yeah, Joyride
Not
2 sucks.
Not two.
Apologies. But Jeff, what's that up ahead? It's a tourist trap.
Oh no.
Maybe we're wrong, but we're not.
Hey audience, I take off your bra.
Oh shit, it's happening again. Mm-hmm. Oh. Listeners here real fast. I keep getting weird texts from this girl, Nikki. She just texted me again.
Oh yeah.
More on that in a couple weeks, I'm sure.
A little bit. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, she's a little obsessed, I think.
Well, what did you do, Jay?
Well, I wished that. No,
man.
No, you could sign up for texts from Nikki. So I've been getting texts from her off and on for like weeks. And you could even respond, and sometimes she would respond back to what you had texted.
That's pretty cool. My one wish, Willow.
I know. Our one wish, Willows, didn't come true. Also, Jeff, I saw.
Yet.
I saw that they are selling for like $300, and we snapped two of them in half.
Oof. Well, you know, that's the only way we could get our wish. You have to break it.
Like, people are like actively trying to buy the original one wish Willows. It's like we snapped two of them in half for a joke on the podcast.
Well, when my massive SpaceX purchase pays off and that IPO goes live today, I'll get my wish.
All right. Reviews. 1 out of 10. I hate myself for watching this.
Must be a Joyride 2 fan.
That was my thought. First, I need to apologize to my brain, my eyes, and my ears after watching this movie. Also, did you watch Joyride 2? Did you mistakenly watch the second one? The only thing that is good about this movie is that now I know I have watched the worst movie ever. It is far from that.
Not even close.
Even Joyride 2 is not the worst movie ever.
I was going to say, it's better than Joyride 2, yes, and even Joyride 2 is not that bad of a movie.
Also, furthering my idea that maybe they only watched, maybe they watched Joyride 2 and thought it was Joyride 3. Mm-hmm. This is a crime to the first Joyride.
No.
Are you reviewing Joyride 2?
Must be.
I can't even decide what is the worst part of the movie. Is it director? Is it acting? Is it story?
Is it director?
I watched good movies, and I watched the bad ones. I watched stupid movies. I watched movies that made me hate myself for weeks after watching. But this goes beyond. Joyride 3 was so bad that it made me want to claw my eyes out. You're not actually reviewing the movie.
No.
I don't want to waste any more time on this movie by telling you how bad it is, because it would take me forever. Sorry for my bad English, and please don't watch this movie.
I watched movies in a hat. I watched movies with my cat.
I watched movies in my house. I watched movies with a mouse. I do not like Joyride 3. Do not watch it, says me.
Yes.
There we go. We did it, Jeff. Wrap up the podcast. We're done.
This fucking thing, this blew my mind. This was a post I found, 1 out of 5 stars. Rusty Nail deserved better. The original Joyride worked because Rusty Nail was scary as a voice in the darkness.
Yeah,
he didn't need to see him much. He was a threat hiding behind a CB radio and an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, agreed.
Joyride 3 takes all that mystery and runs it over with a bargain bin monster truck. That was Joyride 2.
That was Joyride 2. Actually.
Instead of suspense, we get a bunch of street racers making dumb decisions until Rusty Nail murders them in a way that feels less like horror and more like someone yelling, "Look at how edgy we are." The characters are so forgettable that I was rooting for the highway. Rusty, you deserve better. This isn't a joyride. It's a tow bill.
Fuck Croto, or whatever we're supposed to say in Des Moines.
I don't know. I don't. What the?
Local towing company everyone hates.
Yes, local towing company that you hate, listener. Fuck them.
Yeah, listeners, if you're not from Iowa, just know everyone in Iowa hates Croto. But anyway, yeah, what the fuck was that review?
I don't know. It's like, Is this Rusty Nail different than the first one? Yes, but that's a good thing.
I don't know these people. 1 out of 10. Why did I see?
Yes, why did you see?
Not what did I see. I really wish I could give this 0. Hey, not my day. No wonder why we see so many killings in us compared to even 3 worlds out there.
Yes.
What's the point in showing someone with this killing hunger in brutal fashion, and at the end, every killer escapes? Police can't do anything but wander around clueless.
Yes.
I have started to hate most of the recent Hollywood movies, and some things are pretty common, and they are.
Does he think this is a recent Hollywood movie?
1. Americans are heroes and saves the world. 2. All of the serial killers escapes. 3. Killing sounds to be good. They show as brutal as possible. Examples: Wrong Turn, Saw, Joyride, Hostel, Jason, Final Destination, Devil's Rejects, to name a few. That's more than a few. Mm. And reason for all these killings and sadism is nothing. Moreover, they show as if they are fun. When I read news about shootouts in schools and collages, colleges, yes, by teens, but they wrote collages.
Good.
I feel Hollywood has a role to play. It may be a big role. Please avoid this movie. Not only this movie, but the entire genre of sadism and killing. These are putting a lot of dark sadism in young minds of teens around the world. Thank you all!
Okay.
They did not inform us that English is not their first language, so I'm assuming English was their first language.
Yeah.
I unless you expressly put it at the bottom, I'm not going to know. So
I don't even know what the fuck to say to that.
Thank you all.
Yes, Joyride 3 is what's causing school shootings.
Yep.
If I believe any Joyride movie would do that, it would be Joyride 2.
I watched Joyride 2 and now I hate everything.
Now you have to pay. Fast and the Furious meets direct to DVD regret. 1 out of 5 stars, but 0 if I could.
Go fuck yourself.
Imagine someone watched Fast and Furious Wrong Turn and the first Joyride and then forgot what made any of them entertaining. I would disagree. I think they remembered perfectly what made them entertaining.
Agreed. I found this movie very entertaining. Also, Wrong Turn?
I guess.
Okay.
That's this movie. The street racing angle feels stapled onto the plot like a cheap spoiler on a rusted out car. Nobody acts like a real person. It's because it's a movie. If people acted like real people in horror movies, most of them would never happen.
Yep.
Everyone either taunts the killer, makes a terrible decision, or only exists to become roadkill. Oh, now you're getting it.
Yeah, it's the name of the movie.
Rusty Nail used to be creepy. Here he's just Jason Voorhees with a trucking license.
Mm.
Wouldn't recommend. I wouldn't say he's like Jason, because Jason doesn't talk.
I'd say he's more like Freddy.
Yeah.
So I went and found a 9 out of 10 just because I was kind of looking around. I saw this 9 out of 10 and I had to bring it up mostly for the last line. 9 out of 10. Good.
Yeah.
It is very good. It is very good comeback again for Rusty Nail. And maybe once again for Rusty, he has been made for different.
Oh, yes.
Someone could feel Rusty is 5 to 10 years older. But anyways, the plot is actually clear and all details for plot following have been explained. Have to say, Rusty is very raw and bloody in this movie. Agreed.
Yes, yes.
I could say maybe little less, please. I don't know. Keep more. No. But in that case, that movie has been made for more bloody. And second, the plot went straight to action or something like that happened. Reason to bother Rusty? This is very weird, but I has been told Rusty is bloody and very angry. Do not play games with him. He does not gave no mercy for anyone. I feel like I had a stroke reading this.
I think I did.
Anyway, I have been watched 2 previous Joyride movies. They all 3 are very good. They all 3 are not very good.
No.
I hate to break it to you.
Honestly, I don't know if I would even say the first one is very good. It's pretty much just good.
Yeah, I'd say 2 of them are good and 1 of them is not very good.
Yes.
That's my last one.
Should have stayed in the ditch.
Whoa!
Roadkill, Joyride. What? Another one? Are you kidding? This kind of sequel makes you appreciate how hard it is to make simple premise work. Killer Trucker Go Hunt on Lonely Road. It should be that easy.
Killer
and
Trucker Go Hunt on Lonely Road.
I mean, Killer Trucker does go hunt on Lonely Road. Yep. This. That's the whole movie.
Yeah, that's the whole movie.
That should be easy. Somehow this movie turns it into a dull, mean-spirited mess. Rusty Nail frightening than before, but heroes are less likable. The whole thing feels cheap. Cheap like Motel Ice Machine.
Cheap, like this was made for $1 million as opposed to $5 million for the second movie.
By the final scene, I wasn't wondering if Rusty survived. I wondered why I watched it.
I mean, by the final scene, you weren't wondering if Rusty had survived. You knew he was alive.
He's in the final scene, yeah. But then I found this one, Jay, and I thought maybe we're not alone out there. 5 out of 5 stars. A mean, muscular road horror sequel that knows exactly what it's supposed to do. Joyride 3 Roadkill is not trying to be an elegant, slow-burn suspense thriller like the original Joyride. It's a nastier, louder, more brutal, direct-to-video road slasher, and judging it on those terms, it absolutely delivers. This is the kind of sequel that throws subtlety out the window, floors the gas pedal, and turns Rusty Nail into a full-blown highway boogeyman. The setup is simple but effective, and quick. This movie doesn't waste any time. It sets up your cast of killables and puts them on the road. Rusty Nail feels physically intimidating in a way that the earlier film mostly avoided. Instead of just being a terrifying voice over the radio, he feels like a monster and is terrifying in almost every scene he occupies. This film is also unapologetically brutal. The kills are vicious, the chase scenes are well done, and the movie understands that Rusty Nail is at his scariest when he treats the highway like his personal hunting ground. Is it classy? No. Is it subtle? Absolutely not. But that's kind of part of the charm. Joyride 3 Roadkill is a dirty, aggressive, entertaining horror sequel that knows its audience. It gives Rusty Nail a bigger presence, a harsher edge, and a body count worthy of a direct-to-video slasher. Watch it.
Agreed. Watch it. I had a thought while you were reading that. If Joyride is Halloween, because I was mostly thinking Joyride 2 is Halloween 2.
Yeah.
And then I feel like Joyride 3 would maybe be like H2O maybe the David Gordon Green Halloween 2018.
Yeah. I think, 2018 would probably be a good comparison.
Like, especially this Rusty Nail, where the first Michael is like a lot in shadows and is very, it's the shape is very mysterious and all, where it's like this one is like, Michael is very much there. Yes. And
physical stuff. Presence, intimidating.
Yep. And he's such a monster in that first way. Joyride 2 is Halloween 2, where a movie that lots of people inexplicably like, and you and I are sitting there like,
it's the worst.
People like this?
This is the worst.
We did that. Jeff, we're back at the diner. We're in the home stretch. Had to pull over for food because we're fat boys.
Yes, that's true.
Rusty Nail walks in for a third time. He's been following us this whole time. Looks different now. Mm. Where do you want this Rusty Nail sitting?
As far away from me as possible, because I have a feeling he'd drop some fat one-liners on me and have some pun about me being fat or something and then murder me.
Yeah, then kill us, yeah. This might be the scariest Rusty Nail.
Yes, I would be genuine. If this Rusty Nail was in the room with me, I would be wanting him as far away as possible.
Just a scary, scary dude. I agree.
I would want the Rusty Nail from the sequel, Joyride 2, to come over so I could kill him. And then number one would just probably sit spookily in the corner and talk to me.
We go and kill the Joyride 2 Rusty Nail to assert our dominance to Joyride 3 Rusty Nail that maybe shouldn't fuck with us.
Yes. And if we do something to piss him off, we're apologizing immediately.
I'm so sorry, Rusty. Yes. I did not mean to. And then we wind up telling the waitress that he's covering our bill, and we take off driving down the road, but then we get caught.
That's not
good. Or whatever happens in Dumb and Dumber. Do you think that's why they got the guy who co-wrote Dumb and Dumber to do Joyride 2? Because Dumb and Dumber is also kind of a road trip movie?
Honestly, that would not surprise me. This guy knows road trips. He's half a Dumb and Dumber.
He's a dumb and or dumber. I just had that thought. Anyway, it's time for this.
Garbage day!
Huh?
No!
Is it the Fat Boy Summer of Soda?
You know it, dude.
What ones does he have this time, folks?
We're done with the Japanese sodas. These are the last two. But also, Mr. Pibb, Thrillin' Vanillin'. Thrillin' Vanilla.
Fuck yeah. You know I love the Pibb.
And then we've got, I'm assuming, peach Pepsi of some kind. I'm going to read white peach and oolong flavor.
Hmm. That sounds interesting.
And we got some Mirinda. This one also says it's apple, but it's it could be grape.
Apple flavor Mirinda. You know what? I bet you they printed four of the apple labels and stuck it on there, and this is the actual apple. Because this is green, like a green apple. Not purple, like a grape.
Purple, like a purple apple.
Yes, Jay, a purple apple.
Let's start with Mirinda. Why not?
Let's try Mirinda. Let's see how Mirinda tastes.
That smells like green apple.
It does. It smells good. I like it.
Oh my god, it's grape. No.
No. It's actually a nice apple flavor.
Ooh, I like that.
I do like that. This is definitely a summer drink.
I could see myself road tripping through Japan.
I'm a fan, Mirinda.
Sipping a green apple Mirinda. Not a purple apple Mirinda. Those things can fuck themselves. Those
fucking purple apples are nasty. All right, let's try this peach Pepsi. It's Pepsi, so I don't know.
I'm not holding up much hope.
All right, here we go. Don't know about that.
It's not bad, but I would not describe that flavor as peach.
Yeah.
And then it has kind of like the dryness of tea, which I guess would make sense for the oolong.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jay, turns out I'm deathly allergic to oolong.
Oh, no! Well, Jeff died, and he wasn't crushed by me in some weird accident.
Oh, damn it.
Like the fortune teller foretold.
The prophecy has failed. All right, let's do this Pibb.
All right, some Thrillin' Vanillin.
We're hitting the Pibb.
Kickin' Cherry meets Thrillin' Vanilla Soda.
I just got some Mr. Pibb at the Cinemark the other day, because they replaced that fraud Pibb extra.
Hells yeah. Whoo, whoo. Love that smell.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Very strong vanilla flavor.
Reminds me of the old formula of vanilla Coke before they changed it.
Yep.
I like that.
Oh, that's really good.
To tell my brother about that, because he misses the old vanilla Coke.
Pepsi, oolong peach at the bottom.
Yep. Mirinda second.
Mirinda a close second behind Thrillin' Vanillin. I maybe liked the peach Mr. Pibb a little bit better.
Yeah, I'd say if we're stacking them directly against each other.
But yeah. I don't think this one is bad at all. This is pretty tasty.
It's pretty good. You know what? I'll say it, Mr. Pibb. You did thrill me with your vanilla.
I'm glad. I'll say it too. Mr. Pibb, I'm glad you're back.
Yes. We miss you. We're glad your weird cousin is finally gone.
Yeah. Oh, all right, put the Joe Bob cooler away.
It's our last summer of soda till next year.
Oh, Jeff. Summer soda might not be done just yet.
Oh, really?
We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But next week, or I guess in 2 weeks, we're taking a week off. Next week, we're taking a week off. 2 weeks, we'll be back. Celebrate
the fourth nation.
The birth. Oh, I love it so much. As we talk about Uncle Sam.
250 years, James. Still going strong.
Larry Cohen and William Lustig.
Uncle Sam.
A movie that I've actually been watching as in between and watching the Joe Bob episode in preparation to then watch it again for the podcast. It feels a lot like Maniac Cop.
Thank God.
It feels like Maniac Cop 4.
Yes.
Which is kind of what it is, I guess, because it's the same guys.
Yes.
So very excited for that. I think, Jeff, I think you'll enjoy it. I've enjoyed what I've seen so far.
In honor of America 250. Jeff and Jay present Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam. And also, Jeff, hold on. Who does it have in it? Isaac Hayes.
Oh, yes.
Is in it.
Chef's in this?
Yeah.
Nice.
Also, you could one of my favorite scenes has happened so far. You can barely see it there. The Uncle Sam mask is truly terrifying.
Oh my God.
And there's a moment where a guy goes,
hideous.
A guy goes, who's the guy in the Uncle Sam mask? I don't know, but he's having a great time being like having a lot of fun. And I'm like, everyone should be terrified by that mask. That thing is nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on the Joyride franchise, on the Summer of Soda. If you have any early thoughts about Uncle Sam, or anything else, we are also all over the internet in all the places. We are at Horror for Holidays. That's Horror the number 4 Holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, hit the thumbs up for all your audio backup needs. Hit us up on all the podcatchers. Do us some 5-star reviews, 0 stars if you could, if you want to write one up, so we know that you're a real sicko and listen to the show. And what's that, Jay? For those fans out there who are missing the Christmas horror, I think a werewolf just walked by your window dressed as Santa.
Oh, it'll be coming. It's coming for our, what, fourth birthday?
Yes.
We're going to be doing Werewolf Santa, Jeff's most anticipated movie of like 2 years ago.
I can't fucking wait for Werewolf Santa.
We're proud to be, speaking of Christmas, we're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. Check them out. All sorts of great shows over there. Holly Jolly Xmasu, Tis the Soundtrack, Behind the Bells, Lost Christmas, Rose, Such a Clatter. Totally Rad Christmas, our buddy Jerry D.
Oh, Jay.
All sorts of great stuff.
I'm getting a message on the wire here. Christmas Podcast Network wants us to stop mentioning them.
Oh, well, shit.
They want to kind of keep us under the radar.
Horror for the Holidays. Unrated.
After I threatened to take off everyone on their staff's bra, Jay, they've kicked us to the curb, unfortunately.
I was going to say, Jeff, this is your last chance. This Fat Boy Summer, this is your last moment to remind everybody what you're going to do.
Audience, I'm going to come to your house, especially if you're listening to this right now. I'm probably already there. Don't look behind you or take off your bra.
There it is. That's another Fat Boy Summer in the books. Like I said, we'll see you in 2 weeks for Uncle Sam. And in the meantime, thanks for listening.
Blue Jay, this is the hippo. Come back.
Bye.